talk for a couple of minutes. Do you all feel like sometimes, whether it is your spouse, whether it is someone that you are in a relationship with, do you feel like learning to communicate with them is like trying to learn a foreign language? Like, je ne sais pas. Je m'appelle Kenny. I know, that's all I know, though. That's all I know. I said that I practiced that all week. Je ne sais pas. Oui, oui. I've been practicing that all week. I know. I just said, I don't know. And I really don't know. Sometimes, doesn't it feel like that when you're trying to communicate with the person that you're in a relationship with? It just feels like you're speaking French to them. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. And it takes effort to develop the skill of communication. And most of us were never, ever taught how to communicate with anyone, much less communicate with. We don't even know how to communicate with God, much less anyone else. We don't even know how to. We go to God sometimes and we communicate with God based on what we heard. Father, I come to you the best way I know how. Bowed head and bended knee. I'm Baptist. That's how we did it now. So we don't even know how to communicate with God. So much less do we know how to communicate with each other. I'm going to open some stuff up for you guys this morning. And here's the truth. Poor communication can lead to all kinds of misunderstandings. And that's certainly true in our marriages and in our relationships. If we don't know how to communicate, it's hard for us to move forward. All right. Even polls and surveys consistently demonstrate that the number one issue that can cripple a marriage or any relationship is poor communication. And I'm just saying this goes beyond marriage. If you have a friend and you all are not communicating correctly, it's like, what did you say? Did you really mean that? No, that's not what I meant. Because there's no proper communication, because we don't know how. Have you ever had that friend that's just like, just so rough and blunt? And some of y'all, if you're in here, don't raise your hand, because you might be that friend. That they're just so blunt that they just like say, they just gonna say it. I mean, you need some people like that in your life sometimes when you're about to run off the cliff that can just say something to you that's just so crazy that it'll be like shock value. I got some friends like that in my life, and sometimes I have to balance that out because I can't talk to more than two or three of them in one day. Because I live with one too. Say, hey, baby, couldn't you just be a little more gentle with me, man? I thought you needed a man with sensitivity. I'm like... Just be gentle. But sometimes it's just that we communicate differently. We hear things differently. We perceive things differently. It doesn't take long for the honeymoon to fade and the consequences of poor communication to appear. Like, most of the time we wake up quickly to this reality that it takes a lot more work than we thought it would take in order for a marriage to be successful. It takes work, all right? So for those of you who are in this room who are hanging on the edge right now like this, don't give up. Help us on the way, all right? Me and my wife have been together 17 years, or married 17, together 19 years, and there have been some moments where we've been hanging on the ledge looking at each other. Somebody say, but God. But God brought us through. We realized that it takes a lot of work. So you're not in this alone. It takes work sometimes to be successful in your marriage. And there are going to be some days that you're going to feel like completely throwing in the towel. If you've not felt that way before, you probably will at some point in time in your life. And just remember this moment. Don't throw in the towel. This too shall pass. And most of the time, it leads back to a lot of communication. Something was said, something happened, we perceived something a particular way, and then what happened is that we became offended, and because we became offended, we became off-ended. And now the offense has taken a stronghold in our lives. And this is deeper than just marriages, y'all. This is for everybody. It is taking a stronghold in our lives. And now it's hard for us to move forward because we're stuck at that moment. And everything that we hear from that point forward, we judge it on that moment. And now we're perceiving everything through the lens of that moment. You ever been in a relationship? I think I've said, you ever been in a relationship? And after you got out of this relationship and you say something and the person's like, what? What did you mean by that? And it's like, no, that's not what I, because of something that happened in the last relationship. Now, the way they perceive is through the lens of the thing that happened. Remember I said that to you before, that sometimes people can be so broken because of the circumstances that we go through, is that you go to give them a hug and they start fighting you. And you're like, what happened? Oh, I thought you was going to hit me. Because the last person hit them. So you're going to hug them, and they think that you're about to hit them because they hadn't got healed from the last thing. See, God wants to heal us. God wants to set us free. So we've got to work through this stuff. I said to you earlier that the command that God gave us was to be fruitful and to multiply. In order to experience fruitfulness in marriage or anything else means that I've got to nurture and I've got to cultivate the soils, then plant the seeds in the soil that I'm going to get the harvest in. My life, my marriage is like the field that I plant the seeds in. If I don't plant those good seeds, I'm not going to receive a harvest of blessing. See, we've minimized planting seeds to just money. It's so much deeper than that. Right? The principle of sowing and reaping God put in place to govern the universe, and they work for everything that's in your life. If you sow the right seeds in your marriage, if you sow the seeds of communication, you will reap the benefits of that. If you sow the right seeds, you'll reap the benefits. You've got to work through it. Nothing just happens. It's going to take work. Sometimes it just takes good old fashioned. We got to work through this. We got to set up some time and we got to work through it. All right. Let me tell you what communication is not. Communication is not just talking. All right. Too many people think that communication is just running their mouth. And sometimes we talk too much. You never shut up. I told y'all I was from the 80s. All right. All right. Real communications involves talking, but it also involves a lot more, all right? And it's just, it's neither is it just listening, all right? Some people never express how they feel or what they think. They just passively listen and never genuinely respond, all right? So it's not just talking. It's not just listening. So what is communication is the sharing of meaning. If you got something to write that down, write it down. It is the sharing of meaning. A husband and a wife have not communicated until meaning has been shared. Until meaning has been shared. What do you mean by this? Like, one sends a certain message and the other understands the message. Because you can have a conversation and never understand what the other person really meant. And you just kind of shake, yeah, okay. And you move on from that. All right? So communication is when meaning happens. When there is understanding from both sides. All right? Communication experts point out that when you talk with another person, there are actually six messages that can come through, all right? When you talk with another person, there are six messages that can come through. Number one is what you mean to say, all right? Number two is what you actually say. I think it's going to be up here. Yeah, there it goes. Number three is what the other person hears, all right? Number four is what the other person thinks they hear. Y'all didn't know communication was this layered. Well, some of y'all do because y'all might be struggling with that, all right? Number five, what the other person says about what you said. Because you don't need to leave that moment and there is no understanding, okay? All right? Number six is what you think the other person said about what you said, all right? I know that's a lot. It's going to help you. I'll give you a moment. I read this the other day while you're writing. Leave it up for a second, Dietrich. I read this the other day. It says, I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. There's a lot of wives in here probably going, amen, including mine. I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Real, authentic communication between a husband and a wife, or two other people for that matter, requires listening to understand and speaking to be understood. All right? All right. So I was thinking about the listening side of communication, and I want to give you three barriers that's got to be torn down to understand my spouse. All right? To understand our spouses. All right, James chapter 1, verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All right? Let me read that again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All right? So James is talking about how God communicates with us through his written word. All right? So, and he's reminding us that communication is just this two-way street. So we've got to be willing to listen to God with a desire to understand what God is saying to us. So James says, we've got to be willing to tear down the barriers that block our ability to understand what God is trying to say to us. All right. So the same principle applies to communication in our marriages and in our relationship. You've got to take the initiative in tearing down any barriers on your side of the relationship that will keep you from understanding your spouse. All right. Sometimes we're just so focused on, no, they're the problem. They need to learn to understand. What we've got to do is we've got to work on tearing down the barriers on our side. We've got to work on being the best that we could possibly be. And so, all right, what's the scripture that talks about the sanctified husband sanctifies the wife? All right. So when you work to sanctify yourself, when you work to bring yourself into a place of wholeness, holiness, then it sanctifies everything that's around you. All right. I want to get this to you. All right. Number one, all right, so he mentions three barriers. The first one is tear down the barrier of apathy, right? Saying being swift to hear, tear down the barrier of apathy. Couples, a lot of times, they come to me for marriage counseling, and it's not unusual to find one of them that's sort of apathetic to really communicating. So this person, a lot of times, is defensive, even about the counseling session. And their body language essentially says, I don't want to be here. This is a waste of time, all right? I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk about this. So true communication requires one person to tear down these barriers, all right? And I want to get this to you. I know that this ain't real churchy stuff, but this is going to help you live every day, all right? All right? I can pontificate and tell you what the colors of the rainbow mean, but that might not help you. All right? I could do that. All right? I want to help you because you got to go back home and you got to deal with this stuff. All right? So tear down the barrier of apathy. Sometimes we're apathetic about listening because we've been, and I was saying that earlier, we've been hurt so many times before that we don't believe things can change in a relationship. When you've been hurt a lot, you don't believe, it's like, you know what? This is just the way it's going to be. So everybody crazy, everybody. So I'm going to just treat all of them the same. Because we've been hurt. You ever dealt with somebody? Everybody crazy. You know, men, all men are crazy, so I don't want to deal with them. Don't let the enemy deceive your sister. All women ain't crazy, brother. Just the one you dealt with. But you can't let that experience rob you of fruitfulness in your life. See, if we could focus on, and I said this to you before, now sometimes, thank you, Vicky. Sometimes we got to deal with ourselves because sometimes we've had a series of bad relationships of five or six people that don't know each other, and there's a common denominator. That common denominator is you. And I'm not saying that that means you're crazy. I'm just saying that maybe there's something on the inside of you that draws a particular type of person to you. Maybe there's something that needs to be healed on the inside of you that you thought was healed, but you pressed it away so long ago that you don't even realize that it's affecting how you make your decisions in your life. And you keep drawing the same kind of dude to you. You keep drawing the same kind of woman to you that's jumping out of the bushes at your job and trying to figure out what you're doing. You keep drawing the same thing to yourself over and over and over again. But maybe it's that God wants to heal you. Remember I talk about those Kairos moments? They can be good. They can be bad. They can be happy or sad. In Mark 1 and 15, it says, the time is now. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. If you keep going through the same thing over and over and over again, at some point, you've got to wake up to this new reality and say, God, what is it that you're trying to allow me to see? We've all got to do that in our lives. I have to do that on this church plant journey. There's some things I have to wake up and say, God, what is it that you allow me to see? Because I keep going through that same thing over and over again. I keep going through the same thing with different people. So maybe it's me. Maybe it's some stuff that I got to deal with. See, that's a hard conversation that we have to have with ourselves sometimes. But I don't want to live my whole life living beneath my privilege, because I'm unwilling to deal with the reality of who I really am. See, I've been conditioned to be a certain way because of my circumstances and because of my experiences. And God has something greater for me. And what happened to me is trying to hold me out of the greater. What happened to you is trying to hold you out of experiencing the fruitfulness that God wants you to experience in your marriage and in your life. Listen to Matthew 19, 11, and 12. Listen, when there is hopelessness, it leads to apathy. It leads to this place where you just feel like it's not going to get better. If this describes you, you need to remind yourself that with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19 and 11 says, but Jesus said, not everyone is mature enough to live a married life. Some of y'all didn't know that until y'all got married to them, but it requires a certain aptitude and grace. And I want to get this to you because it is hard sometimes. So he's saying it's hard right here. So you're not alone. He says not everyone is mature enough to live a married life. It requires a certain aptitude and grace. Marriage isn't for everyone. Thank God it's for me. But some from birth seemingly never gave marriage a thought. Others never get asked or accepted, and some decide not to get married for kingdom reasons. But if you're capable of growing into the largeness of marriage, do it. If you're capable of growing into the largeness of it, go ahead and do it. So Jesus is giving this discourse on marriage with the Pharisees because they're always trying to trip him up. So he's giving this discourse. And then later on, he goes and he's talking to his disciples after he's pretty much put them in their place. Because as usual, the disciples come out of this moment and they're confused. And look at what he says to them in verse 26 of that same chapter. It says, Jesus looked hard at them. Can you imagine what it was that these dudes were walking with him all this time, and he was always having to explain stuff to them over again? Have you ever had that? Okay, I'm going to say it to you one more time. So Jesus looks at them hard. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. All right? Now, at this moment, he's talking about the kingdom. So he's talking about marriage, and then he goes from talking about marriage to talking about entering into the kingdom of God. You see the connection between marriage and the kingdom of God? Like one represents the other, all right? He says, every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Listen, there's going to be a risk of being hurt and being disappointed again, but that's the risk you take when you love. That's the risk that you take. God wants you to be. I just said this the other day. There are some things that I was struggling with in my life because I don't like to fail. Because I don't like to fail, I'll stay safe sometimes. You ever struggle with that? Anybody that doesn't like, if you struggle with failure, you're not going, all right, I'm going to do exactly just enough to do what I need to do. And so internally, you stress yourself out because you know that you are living beneath your privilege. Because you know that there's greater out there. And you say you have faith, but you don't want to fail. So you don't step out in faith because you don't want to fail. So you stay where you are. And you look at life and times pass you by. When you know that there's something great, when you know that there are people that come through your life and say, man, you are amazing. And you're just like, oh, man. They keep reminding you of what's on the inside of you. But because you don't want to fail, you just stay right where you are. Sometimes you've got to take risk. And sometimes we are apathetic because we are selfish. I ain't gonna let nobody do this to me again. Nobody. I had to fight all my life. And I ain't gonna have to do it again. I'm never gonna have to do this again. God is saying you're living beneath your privilege. It is possible to get to the point where you only care about yourself and your plans and your pleasure and your priorities. You ever heard this before? I'm going to do me. I'm going to just do me. I ain't worrying about nobody else because I'm going to do me. I'm going to do me. And that's when we're getting to that point of apathy, where we're just focused on, I'm going to do me. I don't care about anything or anybody else. I'm going to just do me. I don't care about you. I'm going to just do me. See, that's the selfish, apathetic place. That's not the place where God wants you to be. If that describes you, you just need to repent and ask God to forgive you and ask your spouse to forgive you. That's hard, but God doesn't want you there. All right? Number two, tear down the barrier of arrogance. Apathy leads to arrogance. Number one was we got to tear down the barrier of apathy. Number two, we've got to tear down the barrier of arrogance. All right? Sometimes you just got to stop talking once in a while and listen to what the other person has to say. To insist on doing all the talking is arrogant and communicates to your spouse that as far as you're concerned, they have nothing worth listening to. That's what that. When you do all the talking, it communicates that they have nothing that's worth listening to. I hope this is helping somebody, even if you're not married. I hope that it helps you when you look towards getting married or if you're in a relationship. When you do all the, listen, I can talk. And I had to learn, I don't mind putting myself out there as a pastor. I had to learn to listen sometimes because, now, when you get a man that can talk, we can talk. Like, because women, y'all have a lot more words than we do. So I went through periods where I was one extreme to the other, where I would just, like, not say anything. And then when my wife was like, well, let's talk. And I was like, okay, well, let's talk. And y'all know, I read a lot. I had, like, about 300 or 400 books at the house. So I just read. So I'm like, you want to talk? Okay, let's talk. And then it's like, you know what? Never mind. Because you just all over the place, man. Right? Sometimes you just have to be quiet and listen. As much as sometimes you want to respond because you want to defend yourself. You ever been there? Wait a minute now. You ain't going to come for me like this. But sometimes it's just best just to be quiet, be slow to speak, and eager to listen. Learn to control your tongue. The Bible talks about the tongue is a little member that can set the whole world on fire. It's with that little tongue that it can mess up a whole bunch of stuff. There's power. I don't care what you say. I know you might have been in a church that they talked about you can just speak things. And there's a power in your tongue, all right? There is a truth in that. What we say has power to shape our world. I'm not saying that you can say, God, give me a new Mercedes right now, and it materializes out of the sky, because that probably won't happen, all right? If it does, holler at me. But But what I'm saying is that we have the power to speak life into our world. But as much as we have the power to speak life into our world, we have the power to speak death into our world. The power of life and death is in our tongue. So you've got to be careful what you say. You've got to control your tongue. Ecclesiastes said that there is a time to speak and there is a time to listen. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:5, and I'm almost finished, you all, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And number three, the last one, is tear down the barrier of anger. Tear down the barrier of anger. Couples have got to learn to talk about their problems without fighting. Have you ever been in that place? I use us as an example because I love my wife, and I'll shoot you for her, all right? But I remember there have been times where it's like we talking, and it just escalate. We just, wait a minute, you're going to listen to me. We call them intense fellowships. And then it just escalates into something else. And it's just like, okay, well, if this is what it's going to be, I'm going to the movies. But it's still not resolved because there's anger. And when I come back, she's sleeping. And we wake up the next morning, she ain't talking, I ain't talking. We standing right beside each other in the bathroom brushing our teeth. Don't let that be you. But God can make a way. Sometimes we go through that so that other people won't. All right? Conflict will be inevitable. There's going to be conflict, but we cannot allow anger to poison the well of communication. All right? Anger can be like a poison. Imagine that. There's a well, but there's this artesian water that's in this well that's cool, and you can pull from it and you can drink and your thirst can be quenched. It's alkaline, you know what that means? It's good for us. And somebody pours something in that water and it poisons the water. And now everything that the water touches, it poisons. That's what anger does to the well of communication. When you pour it in there, it poisons everything, and you can't do. It's like everything that goes from that point until you come back to this place and you get it right. I know it's hard sometimes, you all. It's a journey. It's been a journey for us. There are going to be mountain moments, and there are going to be moments in the valley. You know, sometimes we get angry because we don't like what we hear. Sometimes the truth may hurt. Sometimes we don't like what we think we are hearing. We get defensive and angry because we misunderstand the person. Remember I said earlier, sometimes we are looking through the lens of something that happened to us. And God wants to heal us because we're judging everything from that. Sometimes we get angry because we just never learn self-control. If you always had it your way, you still want it your way. You have to be careful of that. You ever see people sometimes that you just can't get through to them? It's like it's got to be their way. No matter what happens, they just can't. And if it's not their way, they're just so frustrated until it's like. Because they never learned self-control. That's temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. See, if we come back to God at the very foundation of everything, God will give us what we need. Listen, Apostle Paul states clearly how we should treat each other. This is the last scripture I'm going to read to you all. Colossians 3:12. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And I know that's hard because it's like, you don't know what they did. I'm not saying you have to be a doormat. Let's get that clear, because sometimes I think we misunderstand scripture and we just think, okay, well, all right, well, hey, I'm going to just let them do whatever they want to do. That's not what I'm saying. All right? Remember I said that forgiveness is more for you than it is for the person who hurt you. And that's hard sometimes. But set yourself free. God has more for you. It says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Listen, resolve to do your part with the help of the Holy Spirit to tear down the walls that are holding you from communicating. God wants the best for you.